Yesterday, White House cybersecurity coordinator Rob Joyce said there have been no cases of FISA being used improperly for political purposes, something President Trump may have been unaware of. Yesterday morning, hours before the House vote to extend FISA, which allows the government to intercept calls or emails from suspected foreign terrorists outside the U.S., Trump caused confusion over the bill by sending a tweet that resurrected prior claims of his that his campaign team had been spied upon. Soon after, he posted another tweet endorsing passage of the bill. And between the two tweets, he phoned House Speaker Paul Ryan to talk about the FISA bill, according to a Republican aide who spoke on condition of anonymity. Both the House and Senate passed the bill, and Senate leaders are planning to send it to the president's desk next week. Joining me is William Banks, professor at Syracuse University Law School. Bill, intelligence officials call the FISA bill Holy Grail, a crucial national security surveillance tool. Why so?
Well, June, it's been a foundational part of intelligence gathering in the United States since the late 1970s, in particular the portion that's up for renewal now since 2008. This one allows the collection of intelligence through a sort of vacuum cleaner-like gathering of electronic signals of non-Americans abroad. So it's a way that we learn about terrorism, that we learn about other security threats, and it's the single most important source of intelligence that ends up in the president's daily brief.
Ryan said that Trump had concerns about domestic parts of the program that actually weren't in the bill, and Trump tweeted that he personally directed the fix to the unmasking process, which Nancy Pelosi said was not in the bill. Can you sort that out for us?
Yes, I think I can. Pelosi is, of course, correct. The so-called unmasking controversy had nothing to do with the parts of FISA that were being debated and then eventually reauthorized this week and next. And in fact, the entire unmasking controversy is much ado about nothing. This was then-candidate Trump being worried that his campaign was being surveilled by the Obama Justice Department, as President Trump's cyber advisor indicated today. There's absolutely no evidence that that ever occurred, nor that identities of individuals were unmasked in the course of that surveillance. So I think it's all smoke and no fire.
Bill, a bipartisan congressional delegation wanted to make some amendments to the bill and failed. California Democrat Zoe Lofgren warned the government was gathering, quote, the content of your phone calls, contents of your emails, content of your text messages, video messages, and searching them for crimes that have nothing to do with terrorism. This is about the allegation that Americans' emails, phone calls, and communications get vacuumed up in the process of what the surveillance networks are doing.
It is, and indeed, Representative Lofgren and others have been making these points for a long time, and I have great sympathy for them. The problem with the technology, as the metaphor indicates, is that it's vacuum cleaner-like, so it doesn't distinguish at the initial stages of collection between Americans and non-Americans, foreign persons abroad. The objective is to collect on the foreign persons, but incidentally, Americans' communications are collected. I think we've come to a point in our national security affairs that most of us are willing to accept the collection, and the greater attention has to be focused on what is done with the material that's collected. So the bill that actually passed does relatively little to ensure protection for that incidentally collected information. The effort by Lofgren and others to amend the bill was to insert far greater controls on the ability of the government to go into the collected material to look further at what its contents are. It's a serious set of concerns, and I think the only saving grace of the bill that is going to probably be signed by President Trump next week is that it has another 6-year sunset. So it's not a permanent authorization Congress will have to come back and take another look at this set of questions, at least within the next 6 years.
So, Bill, another thing that opponents say is that there are too many exceptions to the bill's requirement that unless it's related to national security, the FBI or the NSA doesn't have to get a court order, that the FBI doesn't have to apply for a warrant when national security is involved or cases where it believes they're a threat to life or serious bodily harm. Is that too wide an exception?
I think that exception is okay. You know, so the way it's framed, of course, is serious national security or threat to life or serious harm to property. I think that kind of exception has always existed in our laws, so that material that's in the hands of the government that needs to be further evaluated in those circumstances can be. Otherwise, the Bureau or another agency would have to obtain a warrant from a federal judge to do so. So I think that's a fairly narrow exception. The broader one is to allow the FBI and others to continue to look at the collected material so long as they're not using it in a criminal case. And that worries Lofgren and others, I think, for good reason.
6 years is a long time to wait if there are, you know, privacy concerns attached to this. Is there any other way that some of these problems can be cured before the bill sunsets?
Well, there is, of course. Congress can always take up a new legislative measure. I think one of the things that made this set of corrections tantalizingly close to fruition was the alignment of sort of libertarian conservatives in the Republican Party and civil liberties advocating liberals in the Democratic Party. This is not the first time their interests have coincided, but it's one where they nearly got it done this time. And I think, indeed, had the calendar been stretched out a little bit further and had President Trump not interfered with his confusing and conflicting set of tweets, they may well have gotten the job done. So, you know, if they do approve this finally and the president signs it next week, I doubt that anything is going to happen immediately to try to revisit these issues, but perhaps after the 2018 election.
Thanks so much, as always, for being here. That's William Banks, and he is a professor at Syracuse University Law School.